Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk.
Well, happy Monday. How was your Halloween weekend? Was it good? You have a good All Saints Day? It's November, which means it's Christmas time. Yeah. Are you with me on this, Ryan?
I actually am with you on this. It's one of the few things that I agree with you on. Most things I...
one of the few?
Most things I think that you're horribly off on. But this is the Annie Fry Show, and so there has to be some common ground sometimes, and I do believe it's Christmas season now.
You said it. And my barista friend Emily at Scooter said this to me, and I'm like, why have I not been able to come up with this? She nailed it. Because the cups that you get at Scooters now, Christmas cups. Oh. I'm sure Starbucks is probably the same thing. I don't know. I don't go there.
Okay.
Unless in case of emergency. But she goes, Christmas is a season. Thanksgiving is a holiday. And Thanksgiving deserves to be recognized as the holiday as it is. But Christmas is a season, which means you celebrate it for the duration of the season. And I thought that's a really good way to explain how you can do both.
I agree. And I don't think that, if I got paid to go the other way, maybe I would change my mind, but I don't think that you are taking anything away from Thanksgiving by celebrating
Christmas.
Is
somebody offering to pay you to go the other way on your emphatic love for Christmas?
I'm open to offers. If somebody out there is so committed to Thanksgiving that they're like, you can't talk about Christmas until after Thanksgiving.
I don't think there's money in investing in persuading people on this.
Look, I'm not great at knowing where to put my money.
The first gift of Christmas... Nancy Pelosi has decided not to run for re-election.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, it's a good thing you're here, man.
Christmas. It's a Christmas
good
miracle.
Good grief. There are reports that she has determined that she will not run for re-election. We're waiting to see if it's confirmed. Of course, a lot of people are talking about it. But I am just going to embrace the holiday season and consider that the first gift to the United States of America.
Well, everybody's a little cheerier today, aren't they?
And then tomorrow, we're going to elect communists in New York City, so it's going to kind of balance itself out.
Well, we're not quite electing him yet, are we? It's just the primary. We got a couple months.
What?
It's just the primary, isn't it? Oh, no, is this the actual election? Where am I getting lost in the New York primary? Oh, my gosh. Never mind. Never mind.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my gosh. I've been thinking about this as the primary for a month, and that was already happened. Why am I thinking that way? Sorry. Take the show back over. I've clearly failed.
I've been trying to, but you keep talking and saying wild things. Zoran Mamdani faces off against Andrew Cuomo, who's running as an independent in the New York City mayoral race. Of course, Curtis Sliwa is the Republican who won the nomination there. And I a lot of people are showing, they're showing these polls that show that it's close, that the race is close. But then you also consider how much support that Curtis Sliwa has been able to pull in, and people are wondering very much so, how is it that Curtis Sliwa is still a part of this race? Why hasn't he dropped out yet? Jory Murdoch certainly has been somebody who's been on our airwaves, and he's been saying Sliwa shouldn't drop out. Cuomo should drop out. Sliwa won the Republican nomination from his party, and Mamdani won the Democrat nomination. If somebody should drop out, it should be Cuomo. I can only imagine, I love Jory Murdoch and he lives in New York City. So that man actually has something at stake here based on what comes to be because of this election tomorrow. Which for those at home and in the studio listening is a general election for the mayor.
It's because there's so many Democrats in the general. It's all Democrats and Curtis Sliwa.
It's New York City.
I know.
And as I said, Cuomo's an independent now. When you look at the numbers of each of these candidates stacked up against each other and it being reasonably close, DeRoy suggests, in the face of everyone else suggesting that Sliwa drop out, that maybe Cuomo should drop out. That certainly is not going to take place. That's not going to happen. How do you get to the point where in New York City you have a failed governor, Andrew Cuomo, running against a socialist, Democrat socialist who, again, won the nomination from his party? And I think you just got to look at the direction that the Democrat Party as a whole has taken in New York City. They've run out the common sense moderates, the common sense Democrats who probably have a lot of heart on their sleeve liberal beliefs, but fiscally probably a little bit more moderate, a little more not conservative necessarily, but less socialistic. New York City is about to screw around here and find out. And I think that the rest of us are going to be watching this and seeing, OK, then what happens next? The Democrat Party in New York is going to be the only effective way of pushing back in that city, in that state, to try to get some common sense back to the biggest city in our country. But at the same time, on a national scale, a lot of people are going to be looking at what Mamdani tries to do and campaigning off of it for the next year when the actual midterms happen across the country. Meanwhile, the government is still shut down. We're going to speak with Ryan Schmelz in about 10 minutes from right now, so stick around for that. He's going to give us the latest on the shutdown. The YouTube poll for today: do you support the GOP Senate majority removing the filibuster? You've heard of the nuclear option. This is where the Republicans in the Senate can change the rules of engagement of sorts, the rules to pass something, and they can vote to eliminate the filibuster. Now, if you've heard me talk about this and you already know your, you know, schoolhouse rock, how to pass the bill, good for you. Stick with me. But there are a lot of people who don't understand this, and I'm going to reiterate it very basically once again. The House, which is a majority rules body of Congress, they have to get one more vote for something in order for it to pass. There doesn't have to be a 60% or a 60. Well, it is 60%, a 60 vote majority like in the Senate. It's just simple majority rules in the House. Then that goes over to the Senate, and the Senate has to do something before they can pass the bill by a simple majority. They have to vote to end the filibuster. Ending the filibuster requires 60 votes. So you continue to hear Fetterman, a few other Democrats have come across the aisle and voted to end the shutdown by passing the continuing resolution that the Republicans in the House passed. They need five more people to cross the aisle to support the ending of the shutdown. Now, Rand Paul has voted against this, so it could be a bipartisan crossing into a yes vote to end the filibuster, which could include Rand Paul. But other than that, at most, one Republican could move over. The other four are going to have to be Democrats. The purpose of this in the Senate is to ensure that the majority does not rule everything in this country, that the minority will have a sort of representation. And in the Senate, a state like Wyoming, they get two senators. A state like New York, they get two senators. This ensures that the majority has its say in one chamber of Congress in the House, but that a calmer, more thoughtful process where compromise might have to occur, or a sort of bill would have to come to agreement that would benefit the most people, along with the support of the majority rule in the Senate, or excuse me, in the House. This is what causes us to very much so be the republic that we were told we need to protect in order to keep it. And so for something to pass in the Senate, first it has to pass a 60 vote standard. And then once they end the filibuster, that 60 votes is to end the filibuster, then they actually vote on the bill. You could have 7-8 likely Democrats vote to end the filibuster. So vote yes to end the filibuster, but they could also vote no on the continuing resolution, and it would still pass because you'd have a, at worst, 50-50 tie in the Senate, which J.D. Vance, as the vice president, would get to come in and break that tie. And you better believe he's going to vote to end the shutdown. You can vote to end the filibuster and then vote against the bill. That would end the shutdown and allow Democrats to participate in the opening of the government but still represent the people in their state, as saying, I don't think this continuing resolution is what we need to do in order to get the health care subsidies extended or whatever it is the Democrats want to get done. NPR funded. That is the civics of what needs to happen right now. When you understand that the Democrats could still vote against the actual bill, but would have to come across and vote with Republicans in order to end the filibuster, that's how you can clearly see how Democrats are working very hard to keep the government shut down. That the Democrats are working to ensure that they use what they refer to as one of their few points of leverage in order to make an effect on how this government is functioning. The only way, the leverage that the Democrats need, the only way that they can see this through is to use the mechanics of the filibuster to keep the government shut down. It is necessary for the Democrats to keep the government shut down in order for them to have leverage. That's what they've told us. That's not my inference of it. That's not my understanding of it. That is what they've told us. Now, because the Republicans hold a majority, they could use what is referred to as the nuclear option. This has been done here recently to approve a whole slate of, I think, judicial appointments that President Trump had made that Chuck Schumer said, no, we're not doing that. We're holding that up. We're not going to allow that to happen. If you use the nuclear option, the Republicans who control the majority in the Senate can change the rules of the Senate to get rid of the filibuster so that what you would need is to go straight to voting on the continuing resolution or whatever bill might be in front of them that the Democrats are holding up. You can use the nuclear option, you can get rid of the filibuster, and then it is a simple majority rule in the Senate. There's 100 people there. If it gets split 50-50, then you see the vice president, J.D. Vance, coming in to break the tie. We saw Vice President Kamala Harris repeatedly coming in to break ties on very big, important things, including the Inflation Reduction Act, is my recollection. And they used the power to do that in order to make it pass. Donald Trump said this weekend that he would like to see the Republicans use the nuclear option to end the shutdown. But he didn't stop there. He said, use it for everything. Let's get everything done that we want to do. Get rid of the filibuster. Let's go straight to it. That would change the face of how the Senate is to operate. It would throw into the Republicans' hands, because they have a majority, the opportunity to push through so much of the legislation that they can get through the House and then get through the Senate and vice versa, and get it to the president's desk so he can sign it into law. Do you want to see the Republicans follow Trump's advice and get rid of the filibuster, the nuclear option? That's our YouTube poll for today. Yes, but just to end the shutdown. Yes, do it for everything. Or no, you don't want to see it at all. This is definitely one of those things that you need to think with your heart, but also take a moment and think with your head to determine if you want to set the precedent that this is how majorities that aren't strong enough to be at those 60 votes on their own, or policies, bills that get passed that aren't strong enough to get 60 votes in a bipartisan way, does this put us in a position where everything becomes majority rule? And the way with which Republicans use it, Lord knows, the Democrats are always willing to take this type of measure, it seems, and wield the levers of power as much as they possibly can in a way that Republicans look on and go, gosh, how come we don't do that when we have the power, when we have the position? How come Republicans never do that? Well, now the Republicans have the opportunity to do that. And you got to ask yourself, do you want them to? You go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry. You'll see we're broadcasting live right there, and you can vote in today's poll. Do you support the GOP Senate majority removing the filibuster? Yes, but just to end the shutdown, and then you put the filibuster back in. Yes, do it for everything. That's what President Trump said that he wants him to do. Or no, you don't support it. Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was looking into it. Three quarters of these people will see their healthcare premiums double. Live in states where you won in the last election. I mean, even here in Florida has the highest number of residents on Obamacare in the country.
And I'm saying we can fix it, Nora.
You have helped end these government shutdowns in the past.
I did.
When they came about. And you did it by bringing
them. I'm very good at it.
You
brought members
of Congress.
I'm not going to do it by extortion. I'm not going to do it by being extorted by the Democrats who have lost their way. There's something wrong with these people.
So then what happens
Schumer,
on November 15th when the troops don't get a paycheck?
Schumer is a basket case, and he has nothing to lose. He's become, I just left Japan, he's become a kamikaze pilot.
Sounds like it's not going to get solved, the shutdown.
It's going to get solved, yeah. Oh, it's going to get solved.
How?
We'll get it solved. Eventually, they're going to have to vote.
You're saying the Democrats will capitulate.
I think they have to. And if they don't vote, that's their problem. Now, I happen to agree with something else. I think we should do the nuclear option. This is a totally different nuclear, by the way. It's called ending the filibuster.
A totally different nuclear, by the way. That's what President Trump said in his interview with 60 Minutes and Nora O'Donnell. I watched that interview and it was really truncated. I think it was maybe 27 minutes in total what they got on the air. The whole video has been posted so you can watch it unedited. I haven't had that kind of time on my hands. But he says that he'd like to see the Republicans go nuclear. What the heck does that mean? We were talking about it a little bit in the last segment, but let's get Ryan Schmelz on with us, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent, and our window into the Capitol. Ryan, welcome back to the show. It's good to see you.
Always great to be on. Happy Halloween.
Yes, happy Halloween. We're going to talk about Ryan Schmelz's Halloween costume here in a minute. But first, something even more scary. The government shutdown continues. This is day 30. What is it? 34? 33 or something like that?
34. Then tomorrow we tie the record for longest government shutdown in history.
I'm just thinking about doing a Trump impression, which I can't do, which is why I stopped myself. But longest shutdown ever by the Democrats. What's at stake as every day goes on? My understanding is that it does hurt a little bit more for the country exponentially. So talk to us about where we are right now on day 34.
Well, I think we've hit a number of key deadlines here. You had the SNAP benefits run out over the weekend, so that's going to impact millions of people who rely on SNAP to buy groceries. I believe that's one in eight Americans who do that. Then you also have the fact that TSA workers, air traffic controllers, different government employees like that who are deemed essential have not gotten a paycheck and are starting to miss their paychecks. So we are starting to see significant backups at airports across the country and significant ground delays. And, you know, October was a unique month. It's a month where I think a lot of the travel has to do with football related. And those are kind of some of the big events. But now you still have football season well into effect. But then also we're getting into holiday travel season.
Yeah.
So even just a few backups at the airports are going to be a problem for that. But when you're talking about nationwide air traffic controllers who are already understaffed, by the way, potentially calling out sick or just not showing up to work because they're not getting a paycheck, this is going to really add up really soon.
So Ryan Schmelz speaking with us right now. Is it in your estimation, based on conversations with people in the hallways there in Congress and what you're experiencing, are the Republicans or the Democrats, or maybe both of them, are they starting to feel the heat even more so than when this started, or do they seem pretty resolute on each side?
I think both sides are definitely feeling the heat in some capacity, especially when they're back home in their districts. Now, I think both sides, from what we've seen, have at least for the most part stayed true to their arguments, and Republicans haven't really seemed keen on budging. Now, what's interesting is that I think you do start to see a few cracks on the Democrat side. Take Josh Gottheimer. He is a Democrat from a swing district in New Jersey. He said that he believes the deal that Leader Thune has laid out, which is a vote or a guarantee of a vote on the extension of the Affordable Care Act tax credits in exchange for reopening the government, is a fair deal. I pressed Leader Jeffries about this last week when Gottheimer first made those comments. He said, well, let me make it very clear to you. There are no cracks within the Democrat side, even though pretty clearly Gottheimer is one of the people who is cracking. And then you also have John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania, who has been very critical of his party for the fact that the government is still shut down. So you see three Democrats each and every time they brought this bill to reopen the government back up, voting with Republicans over and over again. You haven't seen any more join them, but the question is, will that change as this continues?
Ryan Schmelz speaking with us right now, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. So, Ryan, the way these things generally play out, give us a little bit of the behind the scenes. Of course, you got 100 people in the Senate, 435 people in the House, and you see a lot of the same faces, generally speaking, being the messenger for the party. But of course, there are a lot of different votes individually. Everybody's vote is equal to the next person who's in each of those chambers. How does leadership of each party work with the entire caucus that they have to ensure that they are, as you talked about, like being airtight on support for whatever the party message actually is? Because we see in the Senate, the Democrats, Chuck Schumer doesn't have Fetterman on a leash. And I wonder how many of the other Democrats that are out there might kind of hear what Fetterman is saying and be like, man, I agree with that, but I'm not going to cross Chuck Schumer. And then maybe same thing on the side of the Republicans. Maybe there are some Republicans in the Senate. We know some purple state senators who sometimes vote with the Democrats who might think, I really think we should talk about health care and extend the subsidies. How do leadership in each of these parties work with the members in their caucus to make sure that everybody is heard and represented?
Well, they have meetings all the time. There's a once a week conference meeting that House Republicans have. Then you have a once a week caucus meeting that House Democrats have. There's usually a lunch just about every day on the Senate side for each side. So there's these meetings that go on, and there's leadership behind the scenes too. House Republicans have been having a press call just about every week on the government shutdown. There's been some who are questioning whether or not they should stay out of town and keep this streak going, or if they should get Speaker Johnson to bring the House back and ultimately start voting on other bills or trying to pass appropriations bills. That's probably where the biggest crack is on the Republican side, at least on the House. You've seen Marjorie Taylor Greene pretty aggressively against this. And what's also noticeable is that every time they have one of these conference calls, everything that happens in those meetings leaks out. And Speaker Johnson has started to joke about that, where it's like, well, half the reporters in this room were on our conference call last week. So it's become a known thing. And, you know, I would say Republicans are still pretty united for the most part on the messaging around the shutdown. They call it the Schumer shutdown. They have remain pretty firm on, well, the Democrats could just reopen the government anytime, because a lot of these Republicans voted for something that they don't like voting for, which is a clean extension of government funding, especially when the spending levels that they're approving are Biden-era spending levels. But a lot of them swallowed that pill in order to support President Trump and support their party leadership. So Republicans have stayed pretty firm on that. There's probably some dissent on the Republican side about what they ultimately should do about the Affordable Care Act tax credits. But it seems like, for the most part, they're still united on the simple message of, well, we passed our bill, we did our job, the Democrats need to join us and reopen the government.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz with Fox News Radio. He's the Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Several messages on our YouTube chat that are listening along with our conversation here, who are pointing out that Arizona representative elect. And we've seen the Democrats begging Johnson, Speaker Johnson, to swear her in to her seat, which would obviously plus one up for the Democrats on their side of the aisle in the House. Speaker Johnson says, was it the Pelosi rule that he said he was following, that he was going to follow the precedent set by potentially now retiring Speaker or former Speaker Nancy Pelosi and say, we'll swear her in when the government reopens. Give us the facts in the matter.
Yeah, so you have Adelita Grijalva. She won a special election to replace her father, who passed away. She has been kind of waiting in limbo and hasn't officially been sworn in to become an official member of Congress. The Pelosi rule that Speaker Johnson is referencing happened with Julia Letlow. She was a congresswoman, or she is a congresswoman, I should say. Her husband died during COVID, and she won a special election to replace him in the House of Representatives. It took a number of days. I believe it was longer than what we've seen with Adelita Grijalva until she was finally sworn in. So Speaker Johnson has made the argument that she will get sworn in, Grijalva will, when the House is back in session. But of course, there's the big elephant in the room, which is that if she is sworn in, she will be the last signature needed on the petition for the bill that would force the release of the Epstein files or compel the release of the Epstein files in the House. They need one more signature to bypass Speaker Johnson on the discharge petition and bring that bill to the floor. So, of course, because Speaker Johnson has kept the House out pretty much throughout the duration of this shutdown, Democrats are trying to make this argument that Speaker Johnson is afraid that if he swears in Grijalva, then that bill is going to get brought to the floor and there's nothing he can do about it.
Can we talk a little bit more about what that petition is? First and foremost, are all of the signatures on that petition Democrats? Is it bipartisan in any way?
It is bipartisan. Yes. So you have Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massie, Nancy Mace, and a couple of other Republicans who have signed on to this. Pretty much the rule is that if you get to 218 signatures, you can put what's called a discharge petition on the floor, get the necessary amount of signatures, and then whatever bill you are filing that discharge petition for, leadership on whatever party controls the House, the Speaker of the House essentially cannot stop that bill from getting a vote. So this has barely ever happened before. The discharge petitions are extremely rare. So this is one of the first discharge petitions that's really gotten every single Democrat vote and then enough Republican votes on board with it in order for it to essentially be at the point where it's about to get brought to the floor when Adelita Grijalva gets sworn in. So it's a very rare political tool, but it has been talked about quite a lot, and now you're seeing it at a point where we, for the first time in a while, could see a bill forced onto the floor and the Speaker of the House can't do anything about it.
It's really interesting, and it is bipartisan. And I want to get down a little bit more in depth too on what we're talking about actually happening here. You're talking about the filing of the petition to bypass the Speaker. The bill gets on the floor. I think I heard you say Epstein files. Now everybody yes. hears that, and then they just start running into each other and into walls because everybody goes crazy with their hands flailing in the air, and they're saying, release the Epstein files. Mm-hmm. And I am always asking myself, what are the Epstein files? Because yeah. we've been talking about this for a really long time. So specific to this petition that is bipartisan, one commenter said that it was initiated by Thomas Massie. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So it was initiated by a Republican. All the Democrats and a few Republicans, like you said, it's a very unusual circumstance in the House. At the end of the day, if they're successful, will there be Epstein files that are released, and what could be contained or what is anticipated in those files that maybe Speaker Johnson would be saying, I would like to hold off on that story right now?
Right. Well, there's a lot of disagreements, I think, about what the bill ultimately will do, because if you ask House Republicans who aren't signing on to it, they'll say, well, the Oversight Committee is doing what it has to do. We're getting a lot of the Epstein files released as soon as a lot of the sensitive information, victims' names, victims' addresses, et cetera, are redacted. And then ultimately, eventually that information will get released and made public. And Republicans in the House believe this is the right way to do it. They believe they're doing this the right way. They believe they're getting cooperation from the Department of Justice. The Democrat argument, or the argument that others are making, is that there are significant redactions that are in what the documents the House Republicans are getting are, and that's getting to the point of it's pretty much making some of this information unlegible, and you can't read what's in there and whatnot. So Democrats think that if this bill passes, then they'll be able to get a more transparent case of the Epstein files, and that will bring, paint pretty much the broader picture here. So there's a lot of back and forth about what ultimately the bill will do, what ultimately is being released by the Department of Justice, and whether or not what the Trump administration is doing through the DOJ and getting these files out is the right way to do it or not.
So when we release the Epstein files, does it go to just those in Congress, or does it go to Annie Fry sitting in St. Louis for me to peruse? Yeah.
So I believe the way it's been working right now is that first it goes to the House Oversight Committee. They're allowed to review it. Then they can make it public. That's pretty much how it's been working so far, I believe.
And then the one other question that I want to ask you, and I don't know how in depth you have studied this, but I'm sure that if it would happen, it would be huge news, so you'd be aware of it. In any of the instances where Jeffrey Epstein, Virginia Guffrey, any of the people who are closely associated with have been investigated, prosecuted for the crimes that we understand Jeffrey Epstein has committed, has Donald Trump been implicated in any way, shape or form in evidence, in testimony, in any reasonable way ever that you have heard be reported or discussed in your time reporting there in Capitol Hill?
Right. I mean, based off the testimony that we saw from the House Oversight Committee and some of the witnesses they brought in throughout their investigation, which happened over the last couple of months, based off of the files that have been released so far, it does not appear that either Donald Trump nor Bill Clinton have had any accusations in there that would be criminal as of right now. So I don't believe there's anything that we've seen that would implicate Donald Trump or implicate Bill Clinton, probably the two biggest names who've been wrapped up into this situation. Obviously, I think you saw what happened with the royal family, with one of the members of the monarchs, you know, facing some significant accusations to the point that they're removing his name from a number of the records there. But yeah, in terms of Donald Trump or Bill Clinton, for that matter, it doesn't seem like there's anything in there just yet.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you feel as though that the Arizona senator or excuse me, representative elect, is it going to be post shutdown? Is Speaker Johnson pretty committed to waiting until the shutdown is over in order to swear her in?
Speaker Johnson hasn't given any indication he's bringing them back anytime soon. So he has been pretty clear from the start. If Democrats reopen the government, then he'll bring them all back and she'll get sworn in. But we're still in a government shutdown and it's been going on for a record amount of time. So I don't think, as of right now, he has not given any indication that he's bringing them back for anything.
Well, I want to encourage folks who are listening right now to follow you on X at Ryan Schmelz Fox, because for Halloween, Ryan Schmelz was Chad Pergram. And have you been practicing this? And have you talked to Chad Pergram about your impersonation of him? Does he approve of it? Was he flattered by it?
Chad, by all indications, very much enjoyed it, because Chad was actually in the video towards the end where I pretty much got him to play himself and to confront me at the end of it, where I'm just like, Republicans will have to avoid striking out when it comes to negotiations. Then Chad comes up behind me and goes, call to the bullpen. Oh, wait, Chad.
We love it. So, we love being able to talk to both of you.
I don't know. I think I just like kind of started doing it one day. Actually, I think when I realized I actually had the impersonation down, it was when Matt Gaetz dropped out of the AG nomination, because it happened while we were mid podcast recording. And the audio is pretty classic in of itself, where I had to like cut Chad off and go, Chad, you need to check your email right now. This is not good. And Chad's like, okay. And then he just kind of darts off and doesn't even acknowledge that he's no longer able to record the podcast. He just kind of runs off because, you know, we had a huge breaking news story happening. Yeah. And so I would go around to people and reenact it because I thought the story was hilarious. And I'd be like, yeah, so Chad was like, well, what's going on here? Oh, okay. Yeah. My case has dropped out. Okay. Yeah.
He's legendary, and we're always grateful for you both when you visit the show, and you did a great job on that Halloween costume. Ryan Schmelz, thanks for being with us today. That's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Ernie. Have a good one.
We'll talk to Chad Pergram soon this week. We appreciate you. Oh, man, I love it. That's great. Ryan Schmelz, the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Go see his impersonations on his X account, Ryan Schmelz Fox. Quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The mundane.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Oh, it's November. Isn't that lovely? I think it's so nice. November is such a nice month. I know people talk about October being kind of a transition into fall month. October is like the hope for November. November is when it's actually there. In October, you can have hot weather in October, or at least not fall chilly weather. We had a streak of, it was 3 days. You said it was weeks of cold, rainy days.
It was 2 weeks.
It was not. It was maybe two whole days. But it was just so October-y. Lovely. Ooh. The ground, like all the pavement is black, wet with rain, and the colors are just starting to pop. But then November gets here, and it's like, boom, it's autumn. And everyone's just kind of thinking,
I disliked this October because it was too hot at the beginning, and then it was too cold at the end. All the leaves were brown. The sky was gray. I fell on my knees, and I began to pray. It was too much of the extremes.
No.
In October.
That's what St. Louis is about. You get everything at once, sometimes in the same day. You turn your furnace on at your house yet?
Yes, we have.
What about you, Brad?
Oh, yeah, our furnace is on.
I'm like, kids, get a blanket. Although the fireplace, I basically spent every waking minute that I wasn't committed to something this weekend with my fuzzy blanket. My chair, our living room is set up, so we've got two couches and then a recliner chair. The living room is not huge, but we went from one couch and two Lazy Boy recliner chairs for my husband and me to now two couches, because now we actually have like six full-size people in our house. And we kept one of the recliners and just put it in the corner. It's not really facing the TV anymore, but a kid can lay in that however you want to see the TV and they don't care as much. If I did it in like 10 minutes, I'd have a crick in my neck. But my seat is right next to the fireplace. Jared will be like shedding clothes over there talking about it's hot. And he's as far away from the fireplace as you can get. Are you sitting by the fireplace or are you sitting far away from it?
We sit kind of far away from it.
No, it's, not we.
Oh.
You.
Me personally? Well, all of us. The answer is the same. We all sit kind of far from the fireplace. Because if we sit too close to it, it is hot, and it changes the dynamic.
And yours is a wood-burning fireplace,
yeah,
correct?
It's a traditional old fireplace.
Ours is a gas switch.
Yeah.
I will never not have that in a house that I live in.
I do envy you a little bit because it's so much easier to use.
On, off.
But I love having that wood crackle.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's great.
Doesn't it make everything smell like a fire?
It can if the wind is just right.
I guess as long as the smoke is being pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing, though. Even when there's no fire going, if the wind just happens to catch the cap right on the chimney up top and blows a little bit through, we all go,
If somebody's having a bonfire in your neighborhood and you walk outside, you're like, oh, thank you. Uh-huh. That is delightful. Just like if somebody's smoking some meat or something
grilling
in your neighborhood.
Wiggins! Oh! Monday Roundup! This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Yes, it is. This is the Monday Roundup. Everything you missed from the weekend. Let's start with Trump declaring victory over the climate change hoax. So we played the Bill Gates clip, I think, in what did I miss on Friday? Brad hosted that segment.
I played it earlier in the segment. But either way, big
either
story.
Way, yeah. So this is coming from Gates declaring that he had a recent perspective shift on climate change.
Yeah, it was affected in his pocketbook.
Yeah. And he's realizing who's in charge now. He's like, oh, maybe I'm having second thoughts.
Sounds exactly like Bill Gates.
It sounds exactly like Chad Pergram.
No, it sounds like Ryan Schmell sounding like Chad Pergram.
Yeah. Here's the quote from Trump. He says, I, in parentheses, we, just won the war on climate change.
Woo!
The climate change hoax, he says. Bill Gates has finally admitted that he was completely wrong, all caps, on the issue. It took courage to do so, and for that, we are all grateful. The rest of this article goes on to explain why climate change is real. Because it's, you know, from the Hill or whatever. All right, next one is a veteran allegedly got badly burned and died in a hotel shower. Listen to the way that this happened. Terrell Johnson was 77. He was staying at a Fairfield Marriott Inn and Suites in San Jose when his family said they found him unresponsive and partially submerged in water, so dangerously hot they could not touch him without burning themselves. According to a wrongful death suit that they filed, Johnson was a Marine Corps veteran, was at the hotel ahead of attending his daughter's graduation from San Jose. But I found this story to be, first of all, tragic. Second, fascinating, because they always have governors on those boilers, those hot water heaters. And have you ever showered with one that didn't have much of a governor on it?
Where it's like scalding?
Where you can really get those things hot? Man.
The water in our house can get super crazy hot, but I don't know if it's like scalding level. What's too hot to just walk in.
How hot do you like your shower?
However hot you can stand it, just a little hotter than that.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that like a known thing? Women just want like scalding hot showers?
That's the meme.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I knew women got cold very easily, but I didn't know that it was a scalding hot shower thing. Anyway, that I'm just surprised that of all the news I've ever seen, I've never seen somebody who got killed anyway by too hot of water in their shower. And of course, we'll see if that's actually completely true. It's all in a lawsuit that they're alleging that that's what happened, but sounds like it's close to the truth. Next one, Jennifer Lawrence doubts her Trump criticism is helpful.
Oh, I didn't want you to do the story.
Oh, sorry. Well, here we are. Jennifer Lawrence is rethinking her approach to discussing her political views. While speaking on the New York Times interview podcast, the Die My Love star, why'd they choose that one? Of all the things she's been in, Hunger Games, anything else? Anyway, she has been a vocal critic of President Donald Trump for years, and she questioned whether she should continue to share her political opinions going forward. Quote, I don't really know if I should. Lawrence said on the November 1st episode, we've learned election after election, celebrities do not make a difference whatsoever on who people vote for. And so, then what am I doing? I'm just sharing my opinion on something that's going to add fuel to a fire that's ripping the country apart. I mean, we are so divided. Since we were going to talk about it later, probably.
Not anymore.
What are your thoughts?
You got 2 minutes left, buddy.
No, I mean,
I'll get to it when I get to it.
Okay.
But it is an important story I think people need to understand in the context of where our culture is right now.
All right. FBI has thwarted a potential terrorist attack in Michigan ahead of the Halloween weekend. This is a big story that really hasn't gotten much attention, but on Friday, Halloween, a potential attack, the FBI said it thwarted, was in connection to ISIS, Fox News has learned. A top federal law enforcement source told Fox News earlier Friday that the attack plot was tied to international terrorism, but more information was not immediately available. The FBI said Friday that it prevented a potential terrorist attack in Michigan. And this was, by the way, in Dearborn, Michigan. That is a famous city for being a highly Muslim city. And it said the arrests were multiple suspects accused of plotting violence over the Halloween weekend. That all comes from FBI Director Kash Patel. Last one, while we still have time. How meals this weekend can impact your daily or daylight savings recovery. You are supposed to change the way you eat this week? Any suggestions, any thoughts of how you might be doing that to make
it's
yourself...
It's the week after Halloween. Maybe stop eating candy all the time.
First of all, stop eating...
Are you
eating...
finding yourself like surrounded by little wrappers everywhere you go?
Oh,
are they
gosh.
From you?
Well, yes, they are. But even here in work, people are bringing it in, and it's both great and also a huge temptation.
Where are they bringing it in?
That's over on the counter.
I didn't know that.
First, start your day with protein. Nothing different there. Start your day with protein. Best way to maintain a constant level of energy is to eat a balanced diet, starting with protein.
Keeps you full.
Second, eat dinner earlier and keep it light. So you're supposed to shift your dinner a little bit earlier than it had been to get yourself back onto that rhythm. And don't eat quite as much so that you're hungrier in the morning. Number three, add melatonin-friendly foods. I guess that's to go to sleep on time. Foods like turkey, cherries, pumpkin seeds, and kiwi can naturally support the body's melatonin production and improve sleep quality. Number four, skip sugar. You already said this. And caffeine late in the day. Kind of obvious. But avoid caffeine after 2 p.m. or whenever you think it affects you. Is there a certain time you have to cut it off, caffeine?
No, I don't have to. But if I have caffeine later at night, I definitely stay awake longer. I just deal with it.
After about 5 or 6, I can't drink soda anymore. Otherwise, I will be up all night. And by up, I mean just kind of not sleeping deeply.
Have you ever thought about the merits of getting soda out of your diet? Do you ever think about soda as a completely and totally useless consumption?
Yeah, I think about it usually while I'm pouring myself a soda, though.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man,
I'm
that
already
looks
committed.
Good.
Steve Moore is going to join us when we come back. I'm going to ask him about the Affordable Care Act. How affordable is it, really? And what can we do different? Steve Moore next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.